this is In the Know for Thursday, April 18th, the 109th day of 2024. There are 257 days left in the year. Good morning, MB, guiding you through In the Know at K105 on Litchfield's Country Station 1039 The Moose, live online at K105.com via the Apple and Android smartphone app using the SoundCloud, iTunes, or Spotify podcast, on Facebook, on YouTube, on the platform formerly known as Twitter. And the hashtag is In the Know. Coming up today, we'll update you on the latest news headlines from around the community, the county, the Commonwealth, and the country. We are looking forward to a visit from Barry Williams at ECTC's Litchfield campus. They've got something exciting going on in the next couple of weeks. We'll tell you about that and a whole lot more. Plus, your chance to win coming up here on In the Know. He is the five-time winner of the coveted Ohio News Hawk Award. He's the two-time Silver Sound nominee, covering every corner of the globe: London, Budapest, Rio, Tokyo, and even Litchfield. He's Sam Gormley and the Sports. Morning, Sam.
Morning, Mel.
How you doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
Not too bad. It's Thursday. We're closing in on the latter part of the week. Going to get a little weather today, so we got that.
I hope that weather can hold off.
The weather, you want the weather to hold on?
Yeah, at least until 8 o'clock when we're out of Grace County softball.
Okay, so let it be written, so let it be done. Who is America's most popular baseball team?
As much as it should be the Reds. is it the Yankees?
Just because they're the oldest doesn't mean the Reds should be. But yes, it is the Yankees.
But see, it's interesting because the Yankees also have a large group of haters. So I was intrigued whether the haters bring down the popularity, you know, love, off balance.
Well, I mean, love to hate, doesn't that still make you popular? It probably does. But I was surprised to learn that a new ranking puts, I'm not surprised about the Yankees in the first place, but the Atlanta Braves are second and the Chicago Cubs are third, and that is simply because of WTBS and WGN throughout the 80s and 90s. And then the White Sox are behind that, and then the Cardinals are at fifth. So, but if you took WTBS and WGN out of the equation, I bet the Braves and the Cubs would not be 2 and 3.
Braves might still be up there because they're the only team in the South.
Yeah, that's true. Well, until you get down to Florida.
Yeah, but then is Tampa the South? Like, I feel like Florida is like
it's
Tampa's
own country.
Its own. Yeah, it really is.
It seems like it. Our friends at Wave say today is an alert day, so sunny and warm before some storms come in overnight. So maybe Sam's going to get his wish. By the way, if you've got your eyes on the forecast for thunder over Louisville, it's going to be cooler on Saturday and even cooler on Sunday. But we'll see mostly sunny today, a high of 86. We will drop down to 58 overnight tonight with some strong storms overnight. And then tomorrow we'll see morning clouds and afternoon sun. We'll only get to 68 tomorrow, 66 on Saturday, 61 on Sunday, then back into the upper 60s and 70s for the majority of next week. So I guess you've got your eye on thunder over Louisville. You've got your eye on the Grayson County prom, which is coming up on Saturday evening. And then, of course, Miss Alea's big 8th birthday party is on Sunday, so I know everybody's planning for that. So we've got an eye on the weather. So it sounds like for your activities this evening, Sam, you'll be in good shape.
Yeah, that was, and also I know that there was a certain person on the show that was very worried about potential rain for a trip today.
Yes,
that
yes.
We discussed yesterday, so I had to assure that it seems like the weather will hold off, unless the trip was planning on going until 10 o'clock.
No, they are certainly hoping it will not go until 10 o'clock.
The gorillas go to bed after that time.
The gorillas do go to bed. They go to bed early, by the way. The transportation cabinet giveth and the transportation cabinet taketh away. Right as we were celebrating this week that the bridge replacement on Highway 70 in Edmondson County was coming to completion ahead of schedule, and Highway 70 would be reopening, the transportation cabinet said, well, wait a minute, before you get too excited, we're about to close a bridge on Highway 187 at the 2.2-mile marker, so that's nearing Highway 70 down 187. So if you are say in the center to western half of Grayson County, you're more likely to use Highway 187 to get to Bowling Green. Well, now, if you want to use 187, you'll have to detour around at 238 over to 185, then on down to Round Hill, and then on to Bowling Green. So a lot of people from the western half of the county say if they're going to Brownsville, they use 185, 238, and then they use that section of 187 to get to 70. Well, now it won't be as simple as that. Now, long term, the bridge is being rehabilitated. To me, that is welcome information, because my guess is if they didn't need to be replaced or rehabbed, they wouldn't be doing it. So it's a safety issue, but it does mean it's going to be a little bit more inconvenient for about, they say, about 60 days. It's over Whetstone Creek, which I was unaware of until I looked it up on the map yesterday. And, yep, right there at the 2.2-mile marker on 187, just north of what used to be the Y with Highway 70, it's now a T intersection, is where you will find that closure. I do believe that Highway 70 has reopened. I know even before it was officially reopened, there were some people using it earlier in the week. So, as I mentioned, the transportation cabinet giveth and they taketh away. Local news headlines: a Litchfield man on parole following his conviction on two felony charges has been arrested after absconding from parole and having methamphetamine in his possession. The sheriff's office arrested 28-year-old Adam Duggins on Monday at a residence on Delmer Drive. Police went to the home to arrest Duggins for absconding his parole supervision, failure to report a change in home address and to his parole officer, and failure to report to his parole officer as directed. Duggins was also served with an arrest warrant accusing him of possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. The warrant states the offenses occurred on April 4. So they arrested him and taken back to 3-6. A new school year next year will also usher in lots of new faces, including the new leader at the Clarkson Elementary School. 17-year education veteran Shannon Cates will be transitioning to a role at the central office as, I believe, instructional coordinator for the district. And that means she, there was going to be a vacancy at Clarkson Elementary School, but that is no longer. Adam Smith has been named the next principal at Clarkson Elementary School. He has spent the majority of his recent career in Munfordville in the Hart County system, but has children in Clarkson Elementary School, residents of Grayson County, he and his wife Lindsay. And so we welcome him to Clarkson and wish him best of luck on taking the reins at Clarkson Elementary School. Miss Cates has been, I believe she'd been at the principal's spot since the 2017-2018 school year, so she'll be moving to the central office. The registration deadline for the upcoming May primary is coming up on Monday, and Secretary of State Michael Adams is reminding everyone that if you've not registered for the May 21 primary, or you're not a registered voter, you need to get busy, because the deadline is just a few days away. You also, if you're watching, you saw a picture of his daughter, who most recently was able to register to vote, so that was exciting for his family. The registration to the deadline to register for the election is Monday at 4 p.m. You can go to the county clerk's office and fill out your registration form in person, or you can do it on the Secretary of State's website. That's pretty easy to do. There's a story at K105.com. that enables you to just follow the link through. But if you can get to the Secretary of State's website, you'll be able to find it. You've got to meet an eligibility requirement, and so you'll have to, you know, complete that form and et cetera. But anyway, you can get to register. They're not a whole lot up for grabs. I mean, obviously the presidential race is on the ballot, but we know who the presumptive nominees are for both parties. All of the House seats are up for grabs. All Kentucky House seats and half of the Senate are up for grabs, including ours. But I'm not aware of any what I would call significant or game-changing challenges in any of those races. I understand there are people who have filed in some of those races in opposition in the primary, but I have yet to see any that are getting any real traction, if you will. So that's subject to change, I suppose. But the primary is closing in on a month away.
An elected prosecutor in eastern Kentucky accused of doing favors for criminal defendants in return for drugs and sexual favors has resigned from office. 51-year-old Scott Blair submitted his resignation on Monday and has waived his right to a preliminary hearing in his case. He prosecuted felony offenses in Perry County. He was arrested Friday on a federal charge of honest services with fraud, which means he's accused of depriving Perry County residents of his honest services. They've been after him for a while. That penalty comes with a that crime comes with a penalty of up to 20 years in prison. It's been a very dynamic week and a half for the University of Kentucky Athletics. And while the headlines have been garnered from Mark Pope and the UK men's basketball team and the UK women's basketball program as well, you know, they've had a change in leadership there. But recently there was a lawsuit filed against the University of Kentucky, including Athletic Director Mitch Barnhart, and it stems from the UK swimming program. In particular, the former UK swimming coach, Lars Jorgensen, who is no longer with the university, but him being turned away from the university apparently was not enough to satisfy those people who were wronged. It's a difficult story to talk about, but in this world of Larry Nassar and some of the other people that we're aware of in athletics, I don't know that it was to that level, but clearly someone is making a claim that there were serious wrongs committed by Jorgensen even before he arrived at Kentucky. So, Sam, have you been able to study this any?
I mean, I read the article is awful. And by that meaning, I mean, if this is true, he doesn't need to be on the streets. Like,
right.
I mean,
okay.
Rape allegations and, I mean, just... It's awful, and then it seems like UK's reaction was not good either, and that's even more even more of a
egregious
disappointment.
Egregious,
yeah,
maybe?
that's a good one as well for it. It's just you can't have that. Like when you hear that, you got to listen, and it seems like they tried to more brush it under the rug, and that's never a good thing.
Okay, so it's their reaction to the initial allegations, which you think was underwhelming,
non-existent.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they were hoping it would go away when they sent him away. They were hoping it would go away. Is my presumption? Have you felt like that against the backdrop of what they've been, of the narrative they've been trying to create this week with the UK men's basketball team, has it been contradictive to know this is out there and going on, but yet it's not getting any talk?
I did find it very interesting that, for one, that Mitch Barnhart volunteered to come on KSR on Friday, and this story came out Friday afternoon. And at the time, you didn't think anything of it. But then on Sunday, almost every single press conference involving a hire of a new coach who is sitting right next to them taking questions as well.
Yeah, the AD.
The athletic director. Mm-hmm. He didn't take a single question because, I mean, if a reporter was there, you know, would that have been the right time? No, but how many times are you going to get Mitch Barnhart in a situation where you can actually put him? I mean, he probably would have said no comment, but still, it is interesting that Barnhart probably knew that story was coming and tried to jump out in front of it and then use that as, well, I've been in the media, so I've gotten that aspect before that story even came out. But it's I know that both released statements yesterday. I know Kentucky said they're cooperating fully with law enforcement investigation as well. And the swim coach's comment last night was awful. He said something, he pretty much blamed it on, said it was the woke NCAA.
That's who Jorgensen was blaming?
Yes, and my philosophy is if this is true, that's not, I mean.
Right, you know, has nothing to do with the
alleged sexual assault is not woke.
The university has finally said something. As you mentioned, they issued a statement. Where it's precarious for them is you want to say something. You can't be silent on it because people are waiting for you to say something. But then you also have to be careful about how much you say because, you know, people do say, well, we can't comment on pending litigation. But something this large with a land-grant university in the Commonwealth, you got to say something. And the university also, I won't say this makes it okay, because it certainly doesn't. But financially, that's the thing they would be guarding against is financial damages. But they are protected. I mean, they are insured for this type of thing. That's where those large settlements will come from. That doesn't mean they should just willingly say, okay, let's write a big check. But it isn't the end of the university if this lawsuit were to be victorious. So you got to get out there and say something. And they have finally said it. And now I presume the legal process will work its way out.
But it could be the end of an athletic director.
I suppose that's true. Yeah, it's absolutely because it if it's proven that it didn't take the, if it was not taken with the level of sincerity and severity that it warranted, then yeah, that certainly could be the case. Speaking of the NCAA, they have clarified a little more on their transfer rules, that their transfers are now to be immediately eligible no matter how many times they've switched. They have got a matter of outrunning the grade card, so to speak. So there are some rules, but basically it removes the, if you transferred last year, you can't transfer again this year. Is this okay?
Let the kids do what they want.
Okay. Well,
I don't care. I've gotten to the point now where I just Let the kids play.
The other thing is that your kid or my kid, they're at liberty to transfer anytime they want. So that's, you know, for people to say, well, they just transferred and they can't do this and they can't do that. Well, even if mine were on an academic scholarship and he or she decided, I want to transfer to Western or I want to transfer to wherever, they're at liberty to do that. So athletes really shouldn't be treated in a different regard, so to that. But they also clarified a little more on NIL and what schools can do in helping secure NIL deals for players, et cetera. And I think that's what's needed is clarity. Even if it doesn't go in your favor, even if it's more restrictive, clarity would certainly be welcome in this case. So if the weather holds out tonight, Sam, you've got Cougar softball action?
Yeah, it's the first time we've played softball, I think, in like a month because we've had a couple of games canceled and so on, and then they've been on the road a lot. So it's Butler County making the trip here to Grayson County High School. These two teams played back, it was the end of March, and Butler County won 17-13. So I think there was a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah, a real pitcher's duel.
Cougars did miss an extra point, though, in that game.
Absolutely.
I think you could be seeing some high-octane offense today if you can tune in and watch with us on the K105 YouTube channel.
What time's the coverage going to start, roughly?
5:30 is first pitch, so we'll start, 5:15, 5:20, something like that. And then baseball, they host Thomas Nelson, so if you want to just come out and support the teams, 5:30 is going to be a busy time on campus.
All right, yeah, a couple of games going simultaneously there at Grayson County High School. We got to get to a break when we come back. Barry Williams from ECTC's Litchfield campus, he joins us for a conversation that's straight ahead here on In the Know. Today is Animal Crackers Day. It is World Amateur Radio Day, except for ham radio operators. So I was recently gifted my grandfather's ham radio, so I was delighted to get it. His call sign, his license plate is something I cherish. It's High Five Day today, so I will high five and say good morning to Barry Williams from ECTC's Litchfield campus. He joins us for a conversation. Morning, Barry. Welcome back. Good to see you.
Good morning, and a virtual high five to you.
Yes, a high five. High five to you there. We got it taken care of. Glad you could join us. We were talking during the break. Been a very exciting and dynamic last month since we got together. Basketball changes, et cetera. So it's been exciting.
It has been the season of change for sure. You know, a lot of things that have come and gone and new things on the horizon. Of course, we will be unveiling our new building project at our 10-year anniversary for ECTC Litchfield. You know, we talk about new things on the horizon. Well, it's hard to believe that our campus has been around for 10 years now.
Yes. it's amazing to consider. It seemed like we talk about time flies and things go by in a blink of an eye, but 10 years has gone very quickly. But you've got a celebration plan. Tell us about it.
We do. So we're going to have some folks from main campus. They're going to come. Dr. Pate, the president of the college, is going to come and give a talk. We're going to have some of our community partners are going to be there. We'll have alumni, current students. There's going to be cake. There's going to be pomp. There's going to be circumstance. An awesome time. And so we really hope that a lot of folks from our community will show up and show out as we not only celebrate the past, but then unveil the future, which I think any good milestone should do. You know, it's great to reflect on where you've been, but I think if you don't also plan for tomorrow and think about tomorrow, then what you're preparing isn't an institution, but a museum. Not that I'm knocking museums.
Sure. Well, they're an important part of it, but you also can't stop innovating and moving forward. Change is, I read, undefeated. Read that recently. So you'll be celebrating Friday, April the 26th from 1:30 to 3:30 Central Time on campus. But as you mentioned about looking forward to the future, I think you've got a groundbreaking maybe scheduled sometime this summer for the expansion. But when will that come in more into focus for those of us who are on the outside looking in?
Hopefully beginning on that anniversary, which is, I think you said, the 26th. And so that'll be the unveiling of the of what the building will look like, the design. I've had a little sneak peek of it, so I'm already kind of excited as we will be, you know, basically doubling the size of our campus. I don't think that's a spoiler. But, you know, we'll be adding some programs that can lead to some immediate employment opportunities, you know, and that's one of the advantages that a community college education has, is that we, you know, you're not just moving along some step ladder towards the eventual job, hopefully. I mean, you get an Associate's of Applied Science in Industrial Maintenance, and in some cases, you're on the job before you're even finished with the degree. So I think there'll be a really cool and almost immediate impact on Litchfield and the Grayson County community.
Well, for those people who maybe have forgotten, because it's a headline from at least a year, maybe a year and a half ago, but this interesting synergy between Senator Steve Meredith and between Owensboro Health, at least the Healthcare Foundation, the Kelly Company, the ECTC's Litchfield campus, all those things converging together to study the marketplace and say, what do we need to be serving? What do we need to be providing? What type of educated students should we be cranking out? And getting all those people together with funds from the state help make this, and to your point, create students who are educated and ready to go to work in the community immediately, if not before they get their certification.
Exactly. And one of the advantages I think that the community college system has, ECTC specifically, is our adaptability, our ability to sort of survey, get the lay of the land, and adapt what we do and what we offer to the students in response to how our society is ever changing. You know, I mean, it's just amazing when you look back at just what's transpired over the last decade and how you have to be able to adapt. We had to be able to handle a pandemic. We had to be able to handle an increased influx of non-traditional students due to unemployment. Now it's dual credit. And at the same time, you're trying to adapt to dual credit and high school students that are now taking college classes. And then you also have this rise in blue-collar jobs and an industry focus. And so you have to be able to have a robust technical program that's also considering how technology is exponentially growing and developing. I mean, who would have thought we'd be having discussions about AI and how it's writing papers and stuff like that, you know, 5 years ago? We wouldn't even be thinking about this, and yet here we are today.
You mentioned dual credit. I saw a headline this morning, I think, from Ryan Quarles, who, you know, he has spent his first 100 days in his new role, I think, touring all 16 campuses, probably not all the satellites, but doing a listening tour, if you will. And I saw the quote from him that said that dual credit is the foundation of everything that is happening at the community and technical college level right now. It's a melding, if you will, in the K through 12 and at least the first couple of years of post-secondary education.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I mean, education always seems to follow trends, and right now that's the trend. And, you know, we'll have to wait and see, does that trend become a staple? Is it here to stay? Or are we going to see it move and transition into something else? And I think all you can do is like a surfer, right? And I obviously know nothing about surfing. I've living in Kentucky all my life, but I've seen some movies and some TV. But I think you just got to ride the wave. You got to see that wave, and you got to be ready to catch it and ride it and make the most of it. And if it sustains and that's the way it's going to be and that's the future, then you're ahead of the curve. And if it's not, then you're going to ride it for as long as you can until the next one comes along. So, you know, our goal is to do whatever we can do to try to meet the educational needs of the community and prepare them for the future.
Registration is coming up, is actually ongoing for the summer session, which comes up on June 3rd. But we're still sorting out some of this FAFSA issue, and it seemed like every day we're maybe waiting for more information, or it's got people on hold. We've seen some institutions extend their deadline because of the FAFSA issues. Where do we stand as of today on that particular problem that we're trying to solve?
So, you know, and we've talked a lot about the hiccups that are coming along with the FAFSA, thanks to the new updates that they've employed. And I think those are hiccups that come with any time you integrate a new system or you make some updates, there's going to be challenges. So students, I think, are now able to go back in and edit and make some changes. And, of course, if they're going to do anything, if they're going to fill out the FAFSA, I'd recommend them having a conversation with financial aid. Just so they can make choose the best options and make an informed decision and proceed with confidence. You know, I think that's important. But hopefully all that's going to be ironed out and we'll see things more streamlined in the fall.
I saw the student of the month has been named the Cormark ECTC Litchfield student of the month. Tiffany Baxter is the April 2024 student of the month. She's one of your students, I understand.
She is. She is one of my I've had Tiffany for, she had me for English 1, and now she has me for English 2 or English 102, writing 2. And, Tiffany's a great student. She's a non-traditional student. She's a single mom of 4 boys, so I think I have some sympathy there. I don't have 4 boys. I have 4 girls. but I know what a circus raising 4 children can be. And then she also works full-time, and then she's a full-time student. And not just a full-time student, but a good student. I mean, she's there, she's present, she's involved, she is doing great in her academic studies. And then she also works full-time, I believe within the school system. And that's her intended goal, is to become a teacher. So she is just doing some incredible things, and the fact that she's doing it, and she's doing it by herself, I might add. She's my hero. She is a champion and kind of represents everything that we try to do and aspire to do teaching college.
I saw you called her a superhero. If she can balance all of those things, she clearly has some superpowers. Have her 4 boys met your 4 girls? You all could just make this really easy.
No kidding. No, they haven't met yet. They haven't met yet. I think her kids, there's a wider age range there than with mine. I think she's got one that's in elementary school and then another one that's about to graduate high school. So, I mean, she's all over the map. Mine are kind of more tightly packed together. Although I do have one that's 15 and going to be driving soon, and that's pretty scary.
Yeah, it can be, without a doubt. Glad you mentioned your family. I kind of had a little bit of a sneak peek. We mentioned it the last couple of times you were on. One of my mowing days in the last month or so, I had a chance to listen to the first few episodes of Far From Level Headed, which is your podcast, which is available everywhere. First, let me tell you, very well done. I love the format, and I was so impressed with your ability to your proper setup and the way you outline what's going to happen. You offer a tease for a payoff at the end, and if I stay to the end, I get something, I get a reward. Anyway, just really well done. I admire the way you're doing it. Great job.
Hey, I appreciate it. And shout out goes to Brooke Mason. She's our she's our producer, so she gets to edit and do all of the tweaking and adjusting of all the audio. And, I mean, it's kind of like the sound guy at church. No one notices the sound guy at church until something goes wrong, and then everybody turns around and looks or looks up, depending on where your sound guy is. So,
yeah.
But she does a phenomenal job. And, you know, it's just – it's kind of cool to have two married couples that get to sit down and talk about life and issues and things that are going on in the community. So it's just – it's a real blessing and a great opportunity. And I appreciate you listening. And I hope to have you on sometime soon, Mark, so we can – also talk about what's going on in the world of radio and promote and plug that.
I would love that. I know, you know, you all spotlight a particular area kind of in that tri-state area, a place that you like to visit or you think is worthy of visiting. So you've got a sprinkling of that. You got a great amount of humor. I like the way that you all play off of one another. It's clear that you all have a good, you know, a good rapport, good working relationship. And but you get into you know you had a discussion on movies and so, but what many, you know, it's kind of a spoiler alert. Also, I had no idea of that underlying tone of ministry that operates underneath, you know, all the other content that's there. So I just, it has a lot of value and depth. So I really admire. The one thing I was surprised at is that you didn't know who Garrison Keillor was and Lake Wobegon.
Yeah. I, a little bit just through teaching interpersonal communication, you know, the beauty of the podcast is I get to bring in a lot of the things that I do. So we get to talk about a lot of the things that I teach in my communication courses, and knew about him as just a blurb and talk about imposter syndrome. But now I need to get a hold of that book and read that and find out more about, you know, where this idea of Lake Wobegon comes from.
Yeah, and the idea is about everyone being average or, you know, being an imposter, et cetera. Anyway, I don't want to spoil it all. It's in the podcast. It's called Far From Level Headed, so it's worth a listen. Hey, it's good catching up with you as always. So many exciting things happening at ECTC Litchfield, and I look forward to seeing you in person on the 26th. Is it a date?
Yep, it's
very good.
Looking forward to it.
That's Barry Williams, ECTC's Litchfield campus, telling us all about what's happening there. Don't forget, April 26, 1:30 to 3:30 Central Time is when they'll be celebrating their 10-year anniversary. We will see you there. Gonna get to a break. We'll come back. Got more on the way. Hang around here on In the Know. Did you know? By the end of a person's life, they can recall, on average, about 150 trillion pieces of information. That number is staggering.
And this is another thing. Who counted that?
They ask the person to count. It's okay. Just count off all the things, all the pieces of information you have, and let's just go ahead and list them. So it took a while. It took 150 trillion years to get them identified. But that's 150 trillion is, but if you think about pieces of information, every time you look at something like light, computer screen, I mean, just the number everywhere you look is a piece of information. I guess that makes sense, but like 150 trillion is a big number.
Yeah, I'm calling hogwash.
I know some people that are more like maybe a trillion.
You didn't have to pull Dennis out like that.
Here's today's water cooler question. If you've not won in the last 30 days and you're 18 years of age or older, you qualify to win. You're going to text your answer to 270-259-6000, 270-259-6000. Up for grabs a family four-pack of tickets to the wrestling event at the high school on Saturday evening. And or you can choose Arrival from Sweden, the tribute, the ABBA tribute at River Park Center. On the 25th down in Owensboro. You can have your choice between those two, but you've got to correctly guess the water cooler question answer, and that is this. The average woman has a 12-year relationship with this person. The average woman has a 12-year relationship with this person. Who is it? Text the answer to 270-259-6000. 270-259-6000. You seem stumped already, and you just got started.
Hold also thinking, if you and Christy have been married 12 years, or is it 13? Yep. So hopefully it's not you on this list. But.
Nope, not me. No. But we've actually, we have a 15-year relationship.
Yeah, I think it's longer than that, but I was thinking, is it going to be 12, or is it going to be 13 for you?
It's going to be 12.
Okay. Yeah. I knew it was in that, like, soon, isn't it?
Sure is, yeah. Sunday. But as we...
it gets trumped.
Yeah, we've sacrificed that day to a birthday now. But what's, I gotta take the time to tell you, and I hope she didn't share this with you in my absence, but it was really sweet of Alea. On Eclipse Day, we were talking about birthday, and it was going to be our anniversary instead of her birthday, et cetera. And she did her, no, it's my birthday type of thing. But we got a letter from her later that said happy anniversary.
Oh.
So it was sweet of her to be like, okay, I'll share the day with you.
And then I know you shared a picture with me as well. I don't know if you want me to save that for another day, but I have it for you.
That was by accident, actually.
Oh.
I'm in such a habit of emailing things to you in the morning. I was emailing that to myself. Mm. And but
well,
you will.
Did you want to use it? I mean, we could.
No, you'll see some of. By the way, those pictures. The picture that you got. You'll see some of those first of the week, because those are all themed as part of her. Okay. Part of her birthday.
Well, then I'll save it in here, and we can use it first of the week then.
Because yeah.
I was a little confused because there's no context.
Well, there were a couple of times that I started typing your name and went, "No, wait a minute! I'm sending this to myself, not sending it to Sam." But then it made me wonder. I wonder how many of those he got before I realized I was
just
sending
one.
It to him. Okay,
just
well, that's good.
Yeah, if it got much more, then I'd probably have...
You said, what's fun. Going on?
Yeah, is he's trying to tell me something. I do the same thing, though, with Zach, is I have to send him something every morning, and I'll send him random stuff as well.
Yeah, it happens. I guess you just got to be careful what you're sending around. Taylor Swift has announced her new Tortured Poets music video and the album... All the Swifties are excited. The album, I suppose, drops at midnight. Does that mean 11 p.m. Central Time? Will there be people who get it before midnight? I don't know.
I would imagine it means 11 p.m. Central Time. Because
yeah,
I would know some Swifties
so.
Probably in this area that would drive 10 minutes, you know, 15 minutes to E-Town and just listen to it that way and get it an hour earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, I know a lot of people are anxious for that. Now, not quite as well known. Kate Hudson is announcing her debut album. So it probably won't sell quite as many as the Taylor Swift album.
Yeah, it's probably a safe bet.
Going to go out on a limb and suggest that. But I do like... I had never really seen all of Almost Famous that she's in. And I saw it like in the last 3 months, and it's really good. But How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is my favorite Kate Hudson role. So she's good. She's probably not the great singer that Taylor Swift is, but that's just that. Jontay Porter from the NBA banned for life for violating the NBA's gambling rules. I saw someone say this morning, Sam, that the NBA, and really professional sports in general, have brought this on themselves because they've all gotten so cozy with sports wagering and gambling that there's going to be more people, especially on props.
Yeah, and so this is very different because he was like betting on his team to lose.
Yes.
And
he didn't play in any of those games, but still.
Leaking information about injuries and so on. Like, that's where, you know, and I'm glad the NBA is taking an early stand.
What got the red flag on it was a game he was in, the under was the number of minutes that he would play, and he decided he felt ill and asked out of the game when he knew what the over-under was on how many minutes he would play. And that got everyone's attention and went, wait a minute. So he only ended up netting like $21,000 out of the deal, but that certainly won't make up for what he's going to lose in his NBA salary, even if it is in the G League. USA Basketball, the roster for the Paris Olympics are out. Three UK players, Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker, and Anthony Davis join LeBron, Kawhi Leonard, Jason Tatum, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry. Looks like a who's who of the NBA.
And it wouldn't shock me if UK gets two more in with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jamal Murray on Team Canada. Presuming that Canada makes it.
Yeah, that's right. Crazy Rich Asians is being turned into a Broadway musical, in case you like the movie and you want to see the Broadway version. Martin Scorsese wants Leo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence to star in his Frank Sinatra biopic that he is making about old Blue Eyes. They probably do a pretty good job. with that. And then I'm reading where Mama June Shannon, Honey Boo Boo's mom, is starting weight loss injections after she has gained 130 pounds. So she was big, then she was little, now she's big again, and she's going to try and get little again.
Is she eating sketty?
Eating sketty, that's all she's having, and taking shots. Simple as that. Got to get to a break. We'll figure out who wins the water cooler question. Plus, we'll have Point to Ponder, Pearl of Wisdom, Chart Toppers, and more coming up here on In the Know. MB's Point to Ponder for today. Why do books always begin on the right-hand page?
Because people are right-handed. I would assume they don't think of us lefties.
But, you know, all you got to do is turn the very first page of the story, and all of a sudden there's content on the left-hand side. So why, when you open a book, and you read left to right anyway, but why does at the beginning of a book start on the right-hand side? It just doesn't, it almost seems like the waste of the back of a page.
Mm-hmm. You'd have to ask a librarian there.
Do you think they even know?
Barry would probably know the answer to this.
He might. Or we could find our crack research team to find out the answer to that. The water cooler question was, the average woman has a 12-year relationship with this person. Who is it? There were primarily three or four different choices. Doctor was one. I saw that one. There were a couple others. But the most popular guess is correctly hairdresser.
Mm. When so I saw it come through, I was like, oh, I should have guessed that.
Yeah, you can draw from all the correct guesses there, Sam, and then pass along the last four digits of the phone number when you get to that point. So congratulations to those of you
looks
who
like
got it correct.
7920 is going to be the winner, so we'll get in contact after the show.
7920, be thinking about your choices, whether you want to go to Owensboro and see ABBA, or you want to see Dennis Cook and Norman Chaffins wrestle on Saturday. I don't know that won't happen. I can't say with absolute certainty it won't happen.
Yes, yes. I'm
not the boss
of them.
More
about them. Like, I learned the other day that one Judge Henderson is maybe turning into a Swiftie.
Well, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
He apparently enjoyed watching the Eras Tour.
Oh, yeah. I haven't done that yet. I probably will.
I think he had the same thing as you of being, everyone's doing this. I want to feel like, you know.
Yeah. Television tonight. So Help Me Todd is on CBS. Next Level Chef is on Fox. Law and Order is on NBC. Today's highlight in history, this date in 1906, a devastating earthquake struck San Francisco. First game was played at Yankee Stadium this date, 1923. Haley Mills is 78. James Woods is 77. Rick Moranis is 71. Jeff Dunham is 62. Conan O'Brien is 61. Eric McCormick is 61. Maria Bello is 57. Melissa Joan Hart is 48. Kourtney Kardashian is 40. And on the Gone But Not Forgotten list, I was not very successful on finding one, but I did find one that I think is worthy of mentioning because of you, Sam.
Oh, my.
Sam Crawford was born this date in 1880. Do you know Sam Crawford?
Should I?
His name was Wahoo Sam. He is in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. He played for the Reds 1907, around 1908, 1909. He holds the individual career record of 312 triples.
I'm looking at him right now.
So, Wahoo Sam. Maybe that's just what we'll start calling you, Sam, because he played for the Reds.
Because he was born in Wahoo, Nebraska.
Wahoo, Nebraska. So, there you go. He is our
Gone
But Not
Forgotten.
He's primarily
known as a tiger, though, it looks like.
Yeah, but the Reds were listed first, so I had to say, Wahoo Sam. Wahoo, Sam. 1957, the Dell Vikings number one with Come Go With Me. Little known fact, Wahoo Sam was actually one of the backup singers in the Dell Vikings.
You don't know that he wasn't?
I don't know that he wasn't. I was not there for every performance of the Dell Vikings.
Secret Asian man. Secretly him and Ty Cobb, even though they played on the same team, didn't like one another.
Really? He thought his name was dumb, maybe? That was Johnny Rivers' secret agent, man, 1966. They were trying to decide what was dumber, Wahoo or Ty?
Hey, something like that.
1975, B.J. Thomas, number one. Another Somebody Done, Somebody Wrong song. And make me feel at home. Let's go to 19. Footloose. Kenny Loggins in 84. Think of it. Caddyshack. Footloose. Top Gun. I mean, the same guy wrote the theme to those three iconic movies. Man. I wonder what his earnings still are. That's like on those three. He still earns. 1993, Dr. Dre and Snoop with another. But he's saying, Doggy Dog and Dr. Dre is at the dope. Ready to make an entrance, so back on up. Cause you know about. I was, I did get the clean version, but I'll just go ahead and bail out of that.
Yeah, you can have to do that.
2002, Pink, Don't Let Me Get Me. Katy Perry was number one with E.T. in 2011. And in 2020, The Weeknd was number one with Blinding Lights. Sam, coverage at 5, Lady Cougar softball at 5, or 5:30?
Probably 5:15, 5:20. First pitch is, or first toss, or pitch, or however you want to describe it, will be about 5:30 there from Grace County High School. And if you're looking for something to do and don't want to watch with us, you can come out and see in person. It looks like it's going to be a good night, but watch with us as well. Should be a
MB's Pearl of Wisdom, a good leader takes little more than his share of the blame and a little less than his share of the credit. A good leader takes a little more than his share of the blame and a little less than his share of the credit. MB's Pearl of Wisdom for today. Remember, God loves you and I do too. If you don't know Jesus, let me know and I'll introduce you. Look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow for another edition of our show. For Sam Gormley, I'm MB, and now you're in the know.